Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome. Oh, it's not even Thursday. It's Tuesday. What am I saying? You can tell I missed a whole week of programming, but I am back in the mix of things, and you know what that means. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, like a Mack truck through chocolate ice cream, sugar, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. Happy Tuesday, because that's what it is. This is Desiree Fletcher Carruthers, and my cohort is Kaylin Patterson, and together we are P4P Real Talk. Hopefully KP will be joining us here shortly, but I am happy to be back in the mix, folks. Last week was not a good week for me. I wasn't feeling well one night, and then I had a transmission blow up on me another night, and had to quickly purchase another vehicle, which was not in my plans for the day, but it happened. I have a car. I am now mobile again, praise the Lord, and so I have nothing but good things to say. Life is good. I hope you guys are well this December. The holiday season is upon us. Christmas, about a week and a half away. Can you believe it? Hopefully the sugar is not having its way with you. I know you all are eating some cookies out there, maybe a little pie, a little chocolate. That's fine. That's cool. Just keep it all in perspective. Let's try and have a different New Year's resolution this year other than losing weight. Although if that is your New Year's resolution, I wish you all the best. And if you've got questions about nutrition, about working out, you know where you can bring those right here to Desiree and Kaylin, and we'll help you out the best we can. But before we get too far down that road, I have a fantastic show this evening. We've got a kind of a newcomer to the INBA, PNBA. His name is Jonathan Goins, and he is just tearing up the natural bodybuilding scene this year. Fantastic that he's on the show this evening. Jonathan, introduce yourself and say hello to listener land.
Hello, everyone. Jonathan Goins here. 38 years old. I live in Houston, Texas. I'm a petroleum engineer, by day. I guess I wear kind of mini hats, and we'll probably get into that a little bit later. But, I compete in the INBA, PNBA in men's physique. I actually started competing in 2016 in the NPC. I did classic physique, mostly because I just, liked posing. But then after about 3 years, I moved into, the Natural Federation. I really wanted to get involved with, like-minded people. And so I did 6 shows this year. The last 5 and 6 were the Natural Olympia. So on day 1, I actually competed in Junior Masters Men's Physique. I won that. In Open Men's Physique, I took 2nd place. So that was on the amateur side. And then day 2, I decided to make my pro debut in men's physique, and I did get first call out. I ended up taking 8th, so just out of the top 5, but 8th out of 24. That was, a little over a month ago, and now we're here.
Yes, you are, and that sounds like a whirlwind, and a very respectable finish there. I mean, the Natural Olympia is no joke. No joke, and especially to make your pro debut the day after you turn pro, that's some serious stuff there. And I definitely want to come back to that experience and talk more about it, but I'm gonna take us back a little bit. So you said you started out in the NPC. So even before that, what interested you in becoming a bodybuilder? What took place that you sat back and said, I want to get up on a stage?
So growing up, I was always, a skinny kid. I did not like weights. I wasn't good at lifting them, so I never touched them. But I was always pretty athletic. So one of the things that I got involved with when I was in high school, and I did this all the way through college, was inline speed skating. And it's most people probably don't know much about the sport. It's if you've ever seen like the Winter Olympics and ice speed skating, inline speed skating is very much like that, except it's on rollerblades. And so I was pretty good at that. I ended up being the two-time, you know, national champion, so I did pretty well. One of the events that we had was actually relays, where we had to, you know, do two laps and then push our partner. And what my idea was, okay, I can get an advantage on the other teams if I can build my upper body up so that I can actually push my partner, you know, harder than everyone else, because most speed skaters have these great legs and just sort of, you know, not really muscular upper body. So I started lifting weights, and my body started to change really quickly. And we ended up not really placing in regionals, so we never made it to nationals. So, you know, my skating career kind of, like, ended then. But I like the results of, you know, like, lifting and kind of how my body was changing and, you know, the muscles that I was getting and everything. So I kept on sort of, you know, lifting weights. And so one of the guys that I used to skate against, he actually posted sort of a side-by-side picture, because he had sort of like stopped working out, and so he was kind of big and heavy, and so he was hitting a side chest in his underwear with, you know, not much muscle. Then he had another picture doing a side chest in the bodybuilding trunks, you know, with striated glutes and just muscles popping everywhere. And I was like, wow, if this guy can do that, surely I can do something like that, because I don't have to come that far. So that's when I decided I'm going to do a bodybuilding show, and this was like the summer of 2016. And right there, I hired a coach, and 12 weeks later, I was on an NPC stage competing in Classic Physique.
Wow, that's a quick trip. That's a quick trip. I mean, and in Classic Physique, that's no small feat. And I think this first question that we have here is going to tie into my next question, because I'm kind of wondering the same thing. But this question is coming from Adam, and he says, so you started your career in NPC. It sounds like you competed there for a couple of years. So what was it that really made you want to make the switch?
So I did, even though it was a couple of years, I did only one show each year. And really what made me make the switch is every year I got on stage, I liked the experience was a little less enjoyable every time. And it just felt like a very combative atmosphere. And I felt like, you know, you always kind of watch shows and you see the judges and they call out the numbers and they move people around and they put, you know, who they like a little bit more in the center so they can see you. They never called my number to be in the center. You know, they always moved me out. So I felt like they didn't like my physique, and I felt like I kind of didn't really like theirs. Like, I felt like my body was definitely changing, progressing each year, but it didn't look like that was something that they wanted to see. And then I looked always, you know, pretty different than everyone else. So I started doing some research around, you know, natural federations. And actually, I was following a girl on Instagram, Agnes Cole. She ended up, you know, she won Bikini Pro, or she got second, sorry, in Bikini Pro at the Natural Olympia. And she had like 300,000 mm-hmm. followers at the time. And I saw something in her bio that said something about like natural competitor or something. And so, you know, I slid in her DM, not to hit on her, but to just say, hey, can you give me more like information, you know, about this whole natural thing? And I didn't really think she would reply, because I figured, she's got a lot of DMs. She's not going to even see it. But she, you know, she saw it. She replied, and she, you know, gave me a little bit more rundown about the IMBA, PMBA. And I ended up going to a workshop, you know, a free workshop that they put on early in the year, like I believe it was in March. And it's like they go over the judging criteria of every category, and they do a posing workshop at the end of it. And so I was like, once I went to that, I was like, this is the organization for me. I'm going to do this one. So right then and there, I decided, I'm doing Natural Federation with the IMBA, PMBA.
And, you know, that's I'm happy to hear that you went to a workshop. I mean, that's something that we're starting to see more and more promoters and, you know, federation organizers across the board, whether it's OCB, NANBF, you know, INBA, PNBA, NGA, And it's just really beneficial. I mean, Kaylin and I talk a lot about how these workshops are just a great opportunity for individuals to get a feel for what's expected from that organization and to get tips from pros and, you know, just to really open their eyes to what competing can be like. And I feel like you're just like a live, you know, living, breathing example of how positive those kind of opportunities are. So I guess I call that out just to encourage folks who are listening to, you know, if there is a workshop in your area and you see one and you're considering stepping on a natural bodybuilding stage, by all means, go to one. Go to one because, I mean, as you've heard Jonathan say, it can be, you know, a very eye-opening experience. And I think Kaylin, you were kind of one of those folks in that arena where you went to a workshop and that helped move you onto the stage as well, correct?
Yes. John and Becky Arnold, that's why I love them so much because they were so insightful and they would bring the pros in and pros that were actual pros. Because I know there's people that have earned their pro card. But when you talk about somebody like Stephanie Casella coming in there and knowing how to be a pro and Misty, when she was getting started, there were so many people that were, you know, that earned a pro card, but really didn't know how to relate to people as pros. So they were kind of standoffish, more combative than helpful. And John and Becky were really bringing in people that were basically engaging the up and coming competitors. And, you know, they were offering them in different locations, not just close to their homes. And that just blew me away that they were so forthgiving and you really have to, you know, take your hat off to someone that wants to grow the sport, not just the shows they're promoting.
There you have it. So there's our PSA for any workshops out there, folks. I know a lot of them are going to be coming up. We're wrapping up the 2020 season. Not 2020. Oh, my God.
Oh,
2019. We're wrapping up the 2019. That's where my mind is on the 2020 season. But we are wrapping up the 2019 season. It's pretty much wrapped. But, you know, training for that spring opening shows, I mean, people are already in the mix. So 2020 is going to be out there workshop. So tell us kind of, share with us, Jonathan, the difference you felt from competing on the NPC stage and your first INBA, PNBA competition.
So I felt like, I guess the biggest difference was, you know, classic physique versus men's physique T-walk. But one of the other biggest differences I felt was in the INBA, PNBA, they gave you all the stage time that you basically wanted and needed. And it felt like, you know, the audience, the judges even, you know, were encouraging you to enjoy your time on stage. And so for me, I love being on stage, so I was smiling the whole time. So it felt definitely almost like home, the very first time that I stepped on stage. And so I knew I was already planning to do a number of shows, but after I did the first one, I said, okay, definitely I'm doing, you know, at least 4 to 5, ended up doing 6.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, with the 6th one being your pro debut,
yes.
So you did 6 shows. So the first couple, if I'm remembering right, or not couple, I mean 5, you placed first 7 times in the various categories and second place 4 times. So you never finished lower than 2nd. And
yes.
In a 3 out of the 5, you won. So overall, so that, I mean, that's a pretty amazing year this year.
Yeah, the feeling of winning, you know, a show. So my first, like the first show I did was, which was the Zeus Classic in September in California. I competed in novice men's physique, men's physique open, and junior masters men's physique. So in novice, it was a pretty big class. There was like 8 or 9 of us, and everybody looked like pretty good. I mean, it didn't feel like, you know, novice or anything.
No,
and as we got to the results and they're calling out the numbers and, you know, sixth place, seventh, or seventh, sixth, fifth, and they're just saying all these other numbers that aren't mine. And then they finally get to the top two, and then the gentleman and I, we look at each other, and we both smile, and we're like, okay, it's down to us too. And then when they call his number, my mouth just hits the floor. Like I was telling people, I can't wait to see the video because I want to see what I look like because I was totally shocked when they called my number and was just elated that, you know, I had won. So that was like, I guess, my, you know, first win in novice. And the goal really for competing this year with IMBA, I wanted to win my pro card and I wanted to place top five in pro at the Natural Olympia. I know it's like huge goals, but that was the goal. And so every show was to, you know, achieve that goal. When, and so in Men's Physique Open, I took second. So I didn't get the pro card at the first show. And I was, you know, I was a little down, but I'm, you know, thinking, okay, well, it's the first show. You know, you're not going to win a pro card at the first show. But that told me that I was close, but I need to keep working. So I went back to work and, you know, had motivation like never before. So the next show, which was literally about 3 or 4 weeks later, which was the Las Vegas Natural and Team USA, which was in the same day, that's when I won the pro card. So that was, I won the pro card. Gotcha. I basically won the pro card three times. So I won it at Las Vegas Natural, at LA Universe, and then again at the Natural Olympia. So that was good.
That's good. And so with that being said, you know, that those are some pretty big shoes to fill going into another year, competitive year, especially with it being, you know, a full pro slate. So how are you going to be approaching 2020? Are you going to take some time off since you had such a rigorous competitive year this year, or what is it that you're thinking?
You know, I'm a competitor at heart. So I know people will be, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm going to rest and maybe just do one or two. No, I'm planning to do probably five or six shows. And if, you know, people aren't holding me back, I may do seven. Like, I feel like it's fun to be on stage. And it's, you know, it's in the dieting and stuff. Yeah, it's not that fun at all. But it's just a mindset that if you can see what the goal is, it's not that hard to do the steps to achieve the goal. So I think that's the plan. I'm still debating about when the first show will be. I still plan to do maybe five or six, but I'm not sure when the first one will be. I know there's pretty heavy schedule of pro shows towards the end of the year, starting like August, September. So I know I'll be pretty heavy doing those, but up until then, I'm just going to, you know, keep training and, you know, I'll bump the calories back up, but I'm, you know, just going to keep training pretty hard. I didn't take really too much time off after the Natural Olympia, like 2 days, and was ready to get back after it.
All right, gotcha. Kalen Patterson, he sounds a lot, sounds like a lot like you, if I can get that phrase out, and you're competitive here this year. So are you going to be as aggressive in 2020 as well?
Oh, you better believe it. I mean, this was a setup to see if I could do it. I mean, yeah, I don't want to take the sponsorship for granted, you know, and all the assistance that you get when you have a sponsorship. So basically, I wanted to make sure that I could be me. I mean, because like everybody wants or has this dream of what they're going to do, but then reality comes in and smacks you square beside your head and your wallet, and before you know it, you're speaking on things that you never could do, and because there was no preparation in it, you actually fell short of your goals, which is never a good thing, and you also kind of speak against yourself in the process because you're starting out so well in how you speak. And then your mind kind of goes away. So I applaud what he's doing and how he's taking the mindset to do it, but also the fact that he was willing to do it ahead of time because preparation sets up everything for success and bad, misinterpretation is what causes failure. So if you're not really sure about how you're going to go about doing things, it's fine to try, but it's never a good idea to go all the way in not knowing
you know, what even the first step is going to be.
I would also throw in that in the top call-outs, so in the first call-outs of Men's Physique Pro, I believe I was the only person in that top 10 that has not won a pro show. Like, I had a pro debut. So I believe every single person else in that top – the only person I'm not sure about is the guy that got seventh, because I believe he's from Australia and I'm not familiar with, you know, how he's done. But everyone else, you know, because I studied who I'm going to be competing against. So a good 20 of the 24 people, I knew exactly who they are and what they did. So everybody else has done, you know, great things and has made their name, I believe, in the sport. For me, you know, I was top call-out to finish eighth. I think that's great. Now I feel like it's my time to, you know, show that I belonged there, and that I'm going to do that by competing in 2020.
I have no doubt. I'm, you know, you just reinforced how much preparation you've put into, you know, getting ready for the Natural Olympia, and you probably take that same approach for every show. So I have no doubt that you will get those 5 and 6 and maybe 7 shows in, in 2020. So before we go too much further, I have to take us back a little bit. Here's a question from Carrie. And the question relates back to talking about the seminars that we were discussing a moment ago. And they want to know, what can a seminar teach you that you can't learn from your home on YouTube?
Oh, I would say there's a lot more that the seminar can teach you. For one, you have pros there from your category that are there to answer any and every question that you have. So it could be just a small tweak to your posing routine that you could ask a pro, hey, should I do this or should I do that? Or it could be if you're new to a division and you want to see, hey, do I fit in this division or that division? You can ask, you know, Danny Kakos, because he was there. So, you know, there's a lot of good information, I believe, by going to those. And I believe it was free. So, you know, I mean, if it's, you know, within your schedule, I believe it's definitely well worth it to attend.
Yeah, no doubt. Yep, jump in on
that,
in.
Can I answer that? Yeah. One of the things that I learned very quick is, you know, like he was saying, you know, you don't always know if you're going to win a show or not, but sometimes not winning is just compounding onto what you're already upset or frustrated about. And that's when you see a true competitor at a show, or you find out that there's certain things you could have learned, you know, beforehand to make the show more competitive and actually a better thing going all through it. And what I learned is that, you know, with the seminars, you save a lot of money because, you know, if you think about it, nothing is worse than being disappointed all through the experience. And when you go to a seminar, you get to learn firsthand and you get to ask the questions that you can't ask on YouTube. You know, like the interaction is a lot better, and it's person to person instead of being in general. As you know, and when I was asking questions, it was specific to my body type, to my mindset, and to what I could do going into a show. And then this basically helps me prepare better. So, you know, YouTube has its spot, but it's not the end all be all. And a lot of the stuff that's being shared is marketed. So, you know, somebody might be saying it with the understanding that my sponsor needs to get a lot of the accolades that aren't really true or forthgiving for the person that's asking the question. If you're asking a specific question to a pro that's right there in your face, you can get an honest response because they don't have to sit there and talk about their sponsor. They can talk to you as a human being. I just wanted to add that.
All right, very good. And all true, all good responses. So, you know, more food for thought for folks that are going to be out there. So, Jonathan, so we've talked a little bit about your natural bodybuilding career, but I also understand that you have a very spicy hobby. Why don't you tell us about that?
So I guess my spicy hobby is salsa dancing. I've actually been, you know, quote unquote, a dancer for almost 10 years now. I was so to kind of give you a background of how does you know, a black guy living in the South get into salsa dancing. So I was getting my master's degree in petroleum engineering while I was working. And so that took me 3.5 years. So I, you know, didn't have a weekend. I didn't have, you know, a Friday night or Saturday night. My time was spent doing all that work. And so once I was finished, I had all this free time and I was like, what am I going to do with all this free time? And I was in Bakersfield, California at the time, moved for work. Shout out to the Bake Oak crew.
Wow, and congrats on living there.
So I actually, one of my friends said, hey, you know, let's go salsa dancing. I'm like, salsa dancing? I don't even know how. He said, ah, you'll pick it up. And so we went, and he was dancing, you know, with girls. He didn't really have that many moves. He was okay. But I watched him and I said, okay, I think I got it. So then I can do this. So I asked, you know, a girl to dance. And then, so they would smile when I asked. And then 3 seconds into the dance, the smile would look like, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge. Like it just completely disappeared because it was quite apparent I didn't know what I was doing. And so I got that multiple times throughout the night. So I was like, okay, I need to go to class just to get enough of the steps so that I can, you know, just, you know, dance with when I go out. So once I went to class, I realized how bad I really was, and I couldn't believe that I was just this bad at anything, let alone dancing. I said, you know, I'm a black man. I have rhythm. What is going on here? So that just a little fire under me to make me say,
you just
okay,
didn't
well,
have the Latin rhythm at the
happening.
Time.
I did. It was like 2 left feet. Everybody's going right. I was going left. I said, what is going on? I don't understand this. And so eventually, I mean, it took a little while, but eventually I picked up on it and I started to really get the gist of it that, you know, salsa dancing is really like having a conversation without saying a word. So I have danced with, you know, a lot of girls who don't even speak English, but the entire song is like seamless and it looks, you know, like a very smooth dance because I can lead and I'm telling her what to do, how to do it, how to spin, when to do this based on, you know, the patterns and how I'm leading. And I felt like it's also a thinking person's dance because you can think 5 and 6 moves ahead and keep your partner guessing and to, you know, what you're going to do. And so that to me was a challenge and it kind of, you know, stimulates your brain and all that. And, you know, I got into, you know, performing too. So the last 4 to 5 years, my partner and I, we would, you know, travel around the U.S. and do, you know, these performances. So that was fun. We, you know, go to the salsa festivals. If you've never been to a salsa festival, it's crazy. You know, you stay up till 6, 7 a.m. dancing. So, there's your cardio for the day. So, yeah.
I guess so. So Lenny says, did he say salsa dancing? They have classes for that? Well, Lenny, it's not just salsa dancing. It's a salsa hip-hop fusion performance. I'm not quite sure how you break that down, but I bet it's phenomenal.
So the thing is, you know, with most salsa routines, if you go to watch, you know, 30 salsa shows that are all 3 minutes long, they're all, you know, they have the outfits and it's the salsa song and it looks pretty similar. Our vision was we want to have the crowd remember us. So if you watch 30 shows, you're not going to remember all 30, but you're going to remember that one that's a little bit different, that's got a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of salsa, a little bit of, you know, everything in there. So that was our goal. And so we wanted to be more entertaining.
Well, that's awesome. So what you have to do now that our interest has peaked is you have to go to the P4P Real Talk with Desiree and Kaylin Facebook page and share a video of your salsa hip-hop fusion.
I'll
everyone
can, you can also you can YouTube, you can just type Jonathan Goins salsa dancing. You'll see a ton of videos. It'll be like some social dancing, some performances, but yeah, I'll also link one too.
But yeah, post them for us too. But okay, guys, so Goins is spelled G-O-I-N-S. So if you're going to go out to YouTube, look for Jonathan, J-O-H-N-A-T-H-A-N, Goins, G-O-I-N-S. You can check that out there. This question is from Sarah. She says, okay, so now how does all this dancing and the hobby translate to your competition, your bodybuilding competition stage?
So the funny thing about, you know, dancing, especially the performance side of it, is on day one, I was comfortable being on stage. I can see people from the audience and even backstage when I'm watching other people, they don't feel 100% comfortable on stage, and they almost they want to be on stage, but they don't want people to look at them. When you're doing a salsa performance, you all the crowd is looking at you, and you have to, without saying it, you have to say, all eyes, look at me. So when you're doing your bodybuilding routine, you want to say the same thing. Like, or when you're, you know, doing your T-walk or doing your posing routine, your posing, your smile, your physique, all that needs to say, hey, judge, look at me. This is what I'm bringing. Check me out. Try to pick apart, you know, any flaws if you see any, because I'm ready.
That's right. And, you know, and that's a hard part, because even like you guys have heard me say before, the T-walk is not my favorite. I do it, but I have to work really, really – well, thank you. But I have to work really, really hard at it. And I am far more comfortable in the mandatories, because while I do want the judges to look just at me, I know I'm not alone. But when you're out there solo, it really is all eyes on you. And sometimes that can be a little unnerving. No doubt. No doubt. That's funny. Well, and we've seen, I mean, and there's nothing better than, and I've said this many times before, an athlete who's out there really enjoying themselves. And when they give you that, you know, aura of look at me, those performances are always the best, because then the crowd is like, yeah, he's having fun, I'm going to have fun. And that's what they really want to come and see.
Yes. What I wanted to add to that is stage presence is part of the criteria.
Right.
So,
yes.
You know, as much as it's great to have, it's also a must to have. And I think he brought out a good point, because some people do everything in preparation except be ready to be prepared to be out there. And I always thought that was kind of funny, especially when you have people that have these coaches that have supposed to have been with them that whole time. And if you're not preparing them for that day, I mean, it's great to prepare them for the day, but then get them to the day and not have them prepared for it. It's kind of funny, because that's the most awkward time. And if you're not basically breaking down those walls and preparing them for them to be out there, it's just overwhelming. And to watch somebody fall apart, you know, like a lot of times when, you know, everybody's fine until it's time to get on stage. And I remember at the Great Lakes Supernatural, we had a person faint because the enormity of what was about to happen, it hit them so hard all at once that they just fell out. And thankfully, it was people that we, you know, lined up front and back to where we could get them. Right. And Des, you might remember that, because you were at that show as well, but I don't know if you were backstage or if you were in the audience, but a lot of people heard the commotion. They just didn't know what was going on. And it was just because I had realized it's time to get on stage now. Oh, my God. And then he just went straight to the floor. But, you know, thankfully we were there to catch him.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm not laughing because he fainted. It's just the way Kaylin said it. It struck me as funny that he just fell out. And literally he did. And my next thought is he probably needed some water on top of that. But, Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I can definitely see how being on the salsa stage in, you know, numerous states across the U.S. would help just give you that little extra boost and confidence. So do you, you know, tie in any of that hip-hop fusion into your performance, your T-Walk?
So if you've seen my T-Walk, it's actually it's a little bit different than kind of what everyone else does. It's a little bit more, for me, I feel like at least, it flows a little bit more, so you never really just see me taking 5, 6, 7 steps and just walking to one side. I'm like gliding, sliding, or turning, or, you know, not to like twirling, but just kind of turning or something. Just I'm doing a little.
It's okay
something.
If you're twirling.
Well,
it's okay.
Yeah, I'm just, well,
it's
I'm
okay.
Just trying to paint,
you can twirl.
I'm just trying to paint the picture.
gotcha.
But yeah, you know, I do a little something a little bit different and kind of throw in, yeah, you know, just kind of throw in some different poses that make my physique, you know, stand out a little bit, at least what I think it does. So, yeah, I try to do that, but I'm, you know, I'm not on stage doing MC Hammer or nothing like that.
Oh,
well, I don't
God.
Think he had a salsa hip-hop
yeah,
music.
Right.
And ladies, it's Jonathan Goins. Sorry. See, I told you I would mess it up somewhere point. I had all these different renditions of Goins in my head before the show. But G-O-I-N-S, go to YouTube,
right.
Go to Facebook, Jonathan Goins. That's where you're going to find some videos if you're looking. So salsa twirling, T-Walk twirling, it's all out there. It's all out there. You find it. So next question. But he is going to post something for us at some point on the P4P Real Talk Facebook page. So check back there. Be sure to like it while you're there. And, yeah, so well, hopefully he'll have that there by the time the night is over. Maybe not before the call is over, but before the night is over. But, okay, next question from Jacob. He wants to know, how was your experience at the Natural O?
It was my first one. I actually watched the Natural Olympia on YouTube 2018, and I saw it, and I thought, this looks so cool. I definitely want to be a part of this. And so being, you know, in the middle of it is definitely a different experience as opposed to watching it. It was awesome. I mean, the energy backstage, the physiques, everyone looked incredible. Like the amateurs, I would say even, you know, so day one was, you know, the amateurs. And so, you know, like I competed, you know, in men's physique, open, and that lineup was insane. Like my goal was to win the amateur men's physique open. And when I saw all the guys who I was going to be competing against, again, my mouth dropped. I mean, there was a guy that I watched win the European championships, Florian. He actually, you know, came and did the Natural Olympia. He took fourth in the open, but I mean, he was absolutely shredded backstage, and I was like, wow, I'm gonna be standing next to us. And right as soon as we got on stage and they're moving everybody around, they put me right next to him. So I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So I think the whole experience, I feel like on stage, it's definitely a different experience, even from other shows, especially I would say the pro show. That was insane how competitive it was. I have literally never competed against a harder group of people. I said that on the day one, and then day two came, and I said, okay, well, now these guys, this is now the hardest. So, like, the competitiveness and how everyone was just really sharp and, you know, kind of jockeying for positions as we were kind of scooting up. I mean, we were supposed to be back by the Iron Man sort of logo. Everybody kept scooting up. We were right at the edge of the stage with every pose. So, I mean, and you had to do it because the next guy over there was doing it. And so you do it, and he did it, and everybody in the center moved up. And so now we're all just double bicep in front of the judges. So, you know, it was definitely fun and definitely high energy. So if it's something that you are debating doing, I would definitely say do it.
Awesome, awesome. So the next question, of course, is, and this one is from Lance, and it's a great question, Lance. So are you going to be gunning for the Natural O in 2020 as one of your, we'll just say 8 or 9 shows that you're going to have next year?
Absolutely. That is, I want to get back there, and I want to be on that podium. So, I mean, when they were calling out the top 5 of Men's Physique Pro and my number wasn't called, I stood backstage and watched the T-Walks from backstage. And there was I think there was maybe 2 other people. Denario Moore was back there, too, and he was watching. I know he was pretty hurt not to be in that. And, I mean, I watched and I felt sort of like physically, like I felt bad because I wasn't in that. And I wanted to actually just leave and kind of watch it from the audience, but I said, no, I want to stay right here. I want to take in this moment and I want to feel this, because on those days when you're in the off season and you're kind of, well, I don't really feel like going to the gym, I want to go back to that feeling of being right backstage and saying, oh, you remember how that felt? Go to the gym. So
yeah,
definitely. I'm going to be there.
It's definitely a good motivator. And, you know, I think that's what we need to hear more of, because I'm very, very surprised, and I shouldn't be after all these years, but we see such great competitors, and when they win, you know, they're so uplifting and so positive and so great with how the promoter and the show, how well it was run. But if they don't win and if they don't place top 5, oh my God, it was the worst thing in life. I hate everybody. You know, I got cheated, I got robbed. And I think it does such a disservice to the athletes that are on stage and do win, and also to the promotion of natural bodybuilding, because if we love it so much, I know we have, sooner or later you have to understand that you're not going to win every show. It's a blow to the ego. Yes, I understand. It's a blow to your pride. Yes, I understand that as well. But it should not be so damaging to your heart and soul that no one has an opportunity to feel the way you feel when you win. I think that is such a discredit to, you know, everything that the sport is and what we do. It's always amazing to me that we don't get more responses from what you're saying, where, hey, it's back to the drawing board. You know, I didn't win, and back to the drawing board. What do I have to do this better? Because, you know, like you said, there's phenomenal athletes. And the good thing about natural competitions is that you get to see each and every unique natural physique on the planet that wants to get on stage. And some of them are just so rare and just so genuine, they demand attention as soon as you get out there. And then the competition starts when you start getting into the mandatories, like Ed was saying, and you see how spectacular those physiques can look in the different poses. Because I know there's some people that get your attention right when they walk out on stage just with their confidence, and then there's some people that are so confident in their posing that they get attention as well. So all of these things factor in before that final placing is put, and the, you know, then you have where the judges might differ on, you know, what different look depending on how the athlete either portrayed themselves to each and every judge or the lack of thereof. So, you know, there's so many factors that go into it, where there's a good opportunity that you could win, and there's a great opportunity that you might not. And I'm kind of hoping that we can, quote unquote, grow up and accept the fact that every show isn't going to be our show, even though we might look our absolute best for that year. And, you know, like a lot of times it depends on who shows up as to where you're going to play. And I just wanted to add that, Des. What do you think?
I think PSA noted, duly noted. I mean, and it's true. And it is so true. So it's just one of those things that you just have to have, oh, sure, an understanding of as a natural bodybuilding athlete. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, the thing I was just going to say is the thing that I would say, you know, I've competed in somewhat, you know, subjective sports. I competed, you know, in gymnastics, even speed skating. There was some subjectivity, at least with the fouls and everything. And the way that I always looked at it is control what you can control. You can control how you look on stage. You can control your stage presence. You can't control where the judges are going to place you. You can't control who's going to show up that day. So just go do your best, and the chips fall where they may, and if they fall in your favor, that's great. That doesn't necessarily mean you're a 10. That means that you were the best that day. That still doesn't mean, you know, that, oh, you're the new king of the hill, but now everybody's gunning for you. So now that's your motivation. That's great. But if you don't place well, that doesn't mean you're terrible either. That just means you have opportunities, and opportunities are a good thing. You know, that's life.
That it is. And that's a lesson that you can carry with you no matter what in life, whether it's your job, whether, you know, who knows, but just good advice to keep in mind. Next question from Connor, and I'll put this out here for both Jonathan and Kaylin. How does a judge know where to place the best athletes on stage? Well, anyone can take it first. So, Jonathan, you may not have judged, so you may not be able to answer that one. So, Kaylin, give us the Cliff Notes version.
No, I'm not going to give the Cliff Notes. I'm going to give you a straight answer because this is a good question. And you've got to have a very good experienced head judge. And a lot of times they're the one that's holding the microphone. And I know that I got to go back to Earl the Pearl because he's one of the best in the business at making sure everybody gets their just due on stage. And any good head judge is going to move the competitors an awful lot. In some shows, you know, first place when you see it, you know, first top three. And I can think back to Steve Lacy's show, the Evolution that year, the DFAC Evolution, where the top three were so, they stood out so well that basically they were asked to step out of the way so they could see who was going to be fourth and fifth. It was that kind of thing. But it was an honor to have that done, and the audience applauded because it was just that much difference between the top three and everybody else. So basically, you know, as a competitor, you shouldn't be ashamed of that. That should motivate you. Like Gomez was saying, it should be something you should strive to do. And if you're not trying to be that much ahead of the game, then there's something missing in your preparation. But that being said, as a judge, you want to move them around because the lighting sometimes is a little off in certain areas. It's very good in certain areas, and then there's certain spots where there's just dead air. And, you know, the head judge will recognize that and move them around. If the number one is basically the number one, then I've seen where judges have moved them completely out of the area just to see the best lighting on the rest of the group. So, you know, it's a lot that goes into it, but it's not to offend or disrespect any of the athletes. It's basically in time saving, time evaluation, and getting people ready for, you know, for the look that they need to do and get them in the best lighting to give their best presentation. So I respect what they do. Earl is good. I mean, he's really good at it. Keith Hunter is very good at doing that. And I know Newman, he can do his thing, but he has a purpose to it, and he's basically making sure that no one is being left out. So that's really what makes sure that everyone is going to be engaged and stay in it. The one thing I do have to say to make sure that everybody understands what's going on is that you stay in your poses even though you feel you might not be in the best spot, because that puts you a message with your placing as well, because there's no off time on stage. You got to be on your A game the whole time you're out there, whether you're standing on the sidelines or basically in the front row. It doesn't matter.
And I would just also add, Connor, that all of this is based on criteria. Each organization has criteria for the different classes, and so the judges should be well-versed, especially the head judge, as to what the criteria is for each class. And so that's how they determine how to place athletes and what should be the best physique in that particular category. So a lot that goes into it, and part of it, it's experience and just judging a lot and seeing a lot of physiques, and that goes for anything. So there you have it. So my gosh. So don't have a show picked yet for 2020, but you're training. You actually had obviously had a very successful year. So successful, in fact, that one might think that, you know, other than placing eighth at the Olympia, there's not a whole lot that you would need to improve. But clearly, you know, there are things that you are gunning for next year. So what is it that you feel, Jonathan, that you're going to need to bring to the table to be in that top five at the Olympia next year?
So I definitely think that I'll need better conditioning. I was more lean than I have ever been at this Olympia, and I knew I needed to be. You know, in previous shows, like when I competed in the NPC, I was just kind of thinking, oh, it's just, you know, me versus me, and I'll do better than what I did last year, and I did. But I knew I needed to be way better than that when I'm going up against, you know, William Long and Colin Congo and Joseph Ortiz. Like, all these guys come in muscular and shredded. So I knew I needed to bring in some of the conditioning. I did very well in that department, but I could do better for sure. And I think I can add, you know, a bit more muscle because that's just going to fill out the frame a little bit more and try to keep, you know, the waist small, because I think that is one of the things that I do have that works in my favor, because I have a little bit of a, you know, size up top in a small waist. So keep that, but add more size. That'll give me a little bit more shape, and keep the stage presence. I may have to break out a new T-walk with a little bit more flair. I'm still playing around with that, but I got a
more
nice long off season to. Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. This question is from Paul. He wants to know if you miss classic physique versus men's physique.
So that's a good question. So the reason why I chose classic to begin with is because when I was looking at, you know, just doing an NPC show, I didn't want to do men's physique because they just, you know, they stand there. They got the front pose and the back pose. And I'm like, I'm working way too hard just to do a front and back. I want to show my biceps. So, and a side chest and a side tricep. Like, I work all that stuff. I don't want to just stand there. So that's why I did classic. I knew I was, like, way too small, but I actually still wanted to pose. So the sort of best of both worlds was the IMBA, PMBA, because if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's the only natural federation where you do get to do all of those, you know, side chest, triceps, front double by in men's physique. I know some of, at least I know there's a handful of natural federations where they do quarter turns, so it's not just front and back, but it's still not the full gambit. But
no, it's not the full posing.
Right. And so, but at some point, I do believe I am going to move to classic. I will sort of let, you know, the judges tell me when it's time to move out. When, if I get too big for men's physique, then I'm going to make the jump to classic. I don't feel like I'm there yet. I feel like I still can add more muscle and still be competitive in men's physique, but I'm thinking maybe 2 or 3 years. But I do like the creativity that classic can bring with the, you know, the entire sort of posing routine. I have some really cool things that are in my mind to do for that. That would be very different. I think that would, you know, catch you know, judges' attention. But you know, we'll sort of cross that bridge when we get to it. So we're just keeping on.
Keeping on, and don't forget those legs that are currently hiding under your board shorts, because you'll need those when you do transition to classic physique.
That's right.
So very good, very good. Well, I mean, you know, this is a good story, I think, of growth, of perseverance, of not letting success get to your head to the extent where you feel like, you know, that you can't come in second or in a lower place, but that there's still room for improvement and just enjoying the love of the sport on the way. What words of motivation, encouragement would you give to someone who is just getting started in the sport?
I would say, pick, set a date, pick a show or a number of shows that are, you know, within the future and that are, you know, realistic that you can achieve, and go ahead and pay the entry fee. Because a lot of times people will say, oh, okay, I'm going to do this show, and then they go about doing it, and the time is clicking, coming closer, and then they don't do it. But I tell you what, nothing puts your feet to the fire like money. If you put your money in and you already know that, hey, I'm going to be out $200 or $300 if I don't do this, you're going to get in gear and really start working. So, you know, that was my thing. Like, I knew what the plan was, no matter kind of how things were going in the beginning. I knew I was going to do these five shows or six shows, and already had it planned out. The question that I got from some people was that, you know, I got my pro card in my second show, but I still competed as an amateur all the way up until the National Olympia. And so people were like, well, why did you do that? I mean, you got your pro card. Most people are loving, wanting to be a pro and leave the amateurs behind them. And my thing was, I didn't know I was going to get my pro card in the second one. And I had already paid, you know, to be in all these other shows as an amateur. And you don't necessarily have to compete as a pro as soon as you win the pro card. And I wouldn't have been able to compete in the Natural Olympia as an amateur if I had done a show earlier as a pro. So the plan was to do my pro debut at the Natural Olympia, which was, I mean, the hardest pro show there is of the year. So, you know, looking back, I'm like, eh, was that smart or not? I don't know. I think it was, but it was definitely a tough pill to swallow when you, you know, come out not really in that first call-out. And then the thing was, not in the top five. So I knew I was in the first call-outs, but I didn't know where I was. I was, you know, somewhere between – I didn't feel like I was sixth, somewhere between 7th and 11th. So up until, you know, the result came out, which was – I was like, you know, waiting for, I don't know, paint to dry to see when they would post the results and see exactly where I finished. So I'm like, where did I finish? So, I guess back to the actually original question. Pick a show. Put your money in, and then, you know, get to work.
There you have it. And that is a fantastic note to end on. Jonathan, I just want to say thanks so much for sharing with us tonight and joining us on the show. It's been fantastic. Also, thank you for listening to the show. That is always heartwarming as well. So appreciate everything that you've given us to think about. And I know folks out there, they're nodding their heads and they're like, yeah, this guy is on the money. So thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you. This was awesome. Thanks very much for having me.
All right. And definitely, hey, and keep us posted. We'll be keeping our eye out for you, and hopefully we'll reconnect in 2020 and see how all those shows are going.
Yes, definitely. And I will be posting the links tonight.
Awesome. Thanks so much. All right, guys, that was Jonathan Goins, INBA, PNBA Men's Physique Pro. Want to call your attention to another show that is getting ready to come on. So Kalen ducked out a little bit early tonight because he is going to be on It's an Amazing Life We Live radio show. It's hosted by Anna Marie Tabo. So we've had her on the show before as well. She is a natural bikini competitor, and she also has her own show on Spotify. So tonight, Kalen and Denario Moore are going to be joining her on It's Amazing Life We Live. So check them out on Spotify. It's going to start 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. They're all in Chicago. So I'm sure they are going to be talking about natural bodybuilding and all of the alike. I know that they are getting ready at iHeartRadio. So that is exciting. Be sure to tune in and show them some love. And also be sure to tune in this Thursday on P4P Real Talk with Desiree and Kalen, where we will be bringing you more of natural bodybuilding, more natural athletes. And, you know, we always have to plug health and wellness. And I'll go ahead and say it, Snickerdoodle. Snickerdoodle shout out in Kalen's absence. So on behalf of Jonathan, INBA, PNBA, Kalen, myself, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple. So let's build it.